Welcome to the Minute of Eight Gang podcast, episode 375, recorded on Saturday, September 17th, 2016. I'm Tim Elliott, and on with Phil Wilson.
Hello.
And also joined by Julio Ojeda Zapata.
Good morning.
Our friend Steve Borsch is off this weekend. He's celebrating a wedding anniversary with his wife. We wish Steve well. And yep. He will be back in control next week. But in the meantime, it's the three of us to run down the stories of the week. And Julio had a great week with a lot of stories, which we'll talk about, which he wrote in the Pioneer Press. Yep. But we kick it off with our friends at Coco, who are expanding at the Grand Exchange.
It looks like 15,000 square feet are going to be added to Coco. And none of us are right. I'm correct in assuming none of us are really sure which direction that's going. I think it's going out the north side of the.
Well, you were the one that worked Coco. There for years, Phil. So yeah, wasn't there?
And then they did on the south side of the Grand Exchange floor. There was they had expanded into some you know startup company campsites, like you know room for 10 and 15 and 20 person companies. I don't know. Maybe they're changing that space into something wide open too.
Yeah. Well, it's Kathy Grace. The story here in the Business Journal does say it's adjacent to their existing spot. So I'm assuming they're just expanding on the same floor that that the main Coco is on.
Yep. Yeah, there's if you picture the elevators in your head, there was an adjacent space that is or was occupied by somebody else that had sort of a glass entryway. And my wild guess is that they're kind of shifting in there.
That was MHTA. So Maybe not.
Yeah. But they're going to have some nice features. You know, they're going to have a new kitchen and a lactation area. And, you know, they're becoming a lot more user friendly. Yeah.
Well, yeah. It's good to see them expand. And speaking of MHTA, the Techni Awards finalists were announced, and Julio wrote up a little blurb on this.
Yeah, so some familiar names. Any standouts that you can highlight there for us there, Julio?
Well, being a St. Paul paper, I obviously you know kind of zeroed in on St. Paul companies, and right. Ecolab is. One problem. I think they get nominated a lot. Ecolab is one example, and some other companies I honestly haven't heard of. Red Food, Recombinetics, Energy Print. These are all St. Paul companies,
right?
Yeah, and so it's nice to see some St. Paul action in there. But you know, St. Paul is not always the hotbed of nominees for these sort of things.
Yeah. There's also a good representation of some smaller companies that everybody's aware of. I mean, I guess I say smaller. They're not Medtronic. Medtronic is one of those that is nominated. But companies like Exosite, which is very much in the Internet of Things space, NimbleLink, PeopleNet, that's been around for quite some time.
Proto Labs,
you know, yeah. A lot of these Starkey Hearing Technologies, that sort of thing. So companies you'll hear of, but also one you also wrote about called Secret Valet. Tell us a little bit about that. I think we talked about Secret Valet a while back on podcast. But what's the latest with those folks?
Well, one of the co-founders pitched me on it, and I thought it was kind of interesting. My tickle file is filled with companies that are doing seemingly interesting things, and it's always kind of a crapshoot. And I sort of reached out to them, and I honestly had the two most interesting interviews I've had all year. Michael Lester is the co-founder, and he's working on this company with his fiance. Mm-hmm. Whose name I'm escaping at the moment. Ismail
Sahar.
Yeah. And she's Palestinian, originally from Jerusalem. And she has a very interesting story. Her grandfather buried some gold in the Middle East. It was sort of the family fortune. He didn't trust banks and lost track of the location, died before he could tell the family where the damn gold was.
Oh, my God.
And so if only he had a GPS, right?
And so his father, spent his lifetime trying to find this gold. He didn't find the gold. He died, brokenhearted. And Sahar is, she's a big techie. And so this sort of gave her the idea, the rough idea of a service where you could create sort of a, not a physical time capsule, but a digital time capsule, and sort of stash important information in there that you don't want lost. And, you know, and most importantly, the time capsule is designed to reveal its contents under a variety of circumstances, you know, agreed upon date, or whether, or if you died, you know, it's really up to the user, but the contents are in there. They're safe until a particular set of circumstances transpire, and then they're revealed to whoever the creator of the time capsule wants them revealed to. And so she came up with this rough idea, but it was kind of interesting because it was, they're a really cute couple. I haven't met them, but I talked with them, and I instantly felt like I became friends with them. We bonded over Star Trek and so forth, and they were telling me, you know, how this startup is intensely collaborative. It could never have happened without input from both, you know, the conversations they had in their hot tub in other places. And it's a really, really interesting, angle, a really interesting tech idea. And the founders are just, you know, really interesting, fascinating people.
My question is Sahar still looking for that family fortune, or?
It's gone.
Yeah.
But that was, that's inspiration for the business. Yeah. It's a company that's, you know, it's just getting started. They have about 100 clients that, you know, they're still kind of looking for proper office space, and, you know, perhaps in Cocoa or some other place. But it's a really interesting idea, and I wish them well.
You also did a piece on CodeWeavers, a long time software company here with a crossover product, and it looks like that their Android crossover will work on Intel Chromebooks, which I think is a big deal.
Yeah, just for background, CodeWeavers, their whole thing is making software that allow Windows apps to run on non-Windows PCs without having to install the Windows operating system. So you don't have to install the Windows OS to run Windows apps, and so they let you do that on Macs, Linux PCs. And then their new angle is Android-based version of crossover that'll work on Intel-based Android tablets, which are not terribly common, but the really interesting thing is Chromebooks. A ton of Chromebooks are Intel-based. Chromebooks do not run Android apps, but there's a new beta version of the Chrome OS that does have that capability. You flip a switch, and you can, in fact, run Android apps. That opens the gate for CodeWeavers to stick its crossover Android app on there. Once you've done that, your Chromebook is, you know, running Microsoft Office and what have you. It's very, very interesting. It's early days. The software is very rough. They're releasing it as a technical preview, so it's not something that they're actually selling yet. But there's a lot of potential. This could open a whole new market for them. And CodeWeavers, by the way, is based, you know, right down the road from here in St. Paul.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's mm-hmm. huge for Chromebook users. I have an Intel-based Chromebook, so hopefully that will work for me.
You're in Fat City, brother.
I know. That was one of the reasons why I went to a Surface Pro, was because I needed to run full-fledged apps occasionally. So, interesting.
And Chromebooks, obviously, most Chromebooks are somewhat underpowered, so it's kind of doubtful whether you're going to be able to run,
So I can't run Photoshop on it.
Steam, that might be tricky, but yeah, there's still a lot of potential there.
Yeah. So Lee Schaefer also has a story here about a local company that's running or has an app for truckers. It's called 120. I've never heard of these guys. Have any of you guys heard of this company?
Never
no.
Have.
Huh.
And I think that Lee kind of points out that it is sort of one of those sort of quiet companies that nobody really has heard about. So
kind of under the radar, I guess.
Yeah. Is it 120, do you suppose, or 120 or 120 or something like that? I don't know. Huh. But so the app is targeted for truckers, right?
Yeah, it is. And it's fleet management is a big issue, you know, managing where trucks are and what their loads are and all that stuff and scheduling. So I can see that, where there would be a right market for this, because there's a lot of phone calls made in this industry right now. And if you can make it more efficient, I think that companies will pay good money for it.
And they've raised a lot of capital already, haven't they?
Yeah, I think the story had a number in here, $38 million.
That's $38 million.
That's quite a bit.
That's some good working capital right there.
That is.
So
I'll take it.
And then on the lighter side, that Julio, you have a piece about the offer streaming TV for dogs, which is interesting for all of the dog lovers out there.
Well, we've talked about Pet Chats before. They're down here in Burnsville. Dog TV I had not heard about. And so apparently
I am not a dog owner, so I had not heard about dog TV. When I heard about dog TV, my eyes rolled a little bit, I must confess.
I can't imagine.
But it's I love dogs, but I love other people's dogs. So, Dog TV apparently is a full fledged cable channel for dogs with content for dogs, and apparently you can get Dog TV with certain cable providers. I believe my Comcast cable provider is not one of them, but that is a cable option for some people. And obviously, it's intended to be run on TVs and what have you. But Pet Chats. Answer Innovation has its Pet Chats video phones, which hang sort of dog height on the wall. They have these little screens, so if you're at your office and you want to talk to your pet, you can have a video conference with your pet. You can push a button on your phone to have a little treat drop out of the thing and so forth. But anyway, they have a deal with Dog TV to stream the Dog TV channel on the screen of the video phone. And apparently you're going to be able to subscribe to Dog TV directly through Answer, so you don't have to worry about if your cable provider is compatible or not. You can get it, directly and solely on the video phone. And again, my eyes are rolling slightly, but but if dogs find this content compelling, what the hell. This would not, I guarantee you, this would not work with cats.
No.
Cats. Yeah, right.
Yeah, no. But cats are definitely more live theater. They're, interested in the live arts.
They're more into mimes,
You're right, mimes.
Right. Kind of high brow.
Objects hanging from strings and so forth.
I don't know. I'd be concerned about my dog binge watching, just spend the whole day on the couch binge watching. And I don't think that's good for her.
Yeah. But, there's a fundamentally sound concept. Dogs, under the right circumstances, do get fairly obsessed with things that they see on TV screens. So, there's some potential there.
Yep. So, there's sort of a lot of stuff going on in local tech.
Indeed.
So. And Julio, you were talking to or talking about the headline is "Move to Silicon Valley, not a chance," says local startup. So who are we talking about?
It's a local company called Astro HQ. This is one of the most. I'm a Mac geek, as you know. So this is one of the most interesting companies I've run across locally in a long time. They make software called AstroPad.
Mm-hmm.
And the software is intended for people who look at their graphic artists and so forth, and look at their iPads and say, "Hey, why can't I use my iPad like a high end graphics tablet? Why can't I do that?" And they created software that loads on the iPad, loads on the Mac, sort of makes them work together, either in a wired form or over Wi-Fi. And basically lets them, if they're using high-end graphics software on their Mac, the software allows that to be mirrored on the iPad. So they're basically doing the Wacom thing and using the high-end Mac graphics tools on their tablet as a sort of a satellite of the Mac to do cartoons or graphic illustrations and so forth. And they last year they won Minnesota Cup. Right. They were the victors of Minnesota Cup. And so I was at I was following all of that last year, and I was saying, "There we go. They're off to Silicon Valley. I guarantee it. A year from now, they're going to be gone. They're going to be in Mountain View or something." And so, out of curiosity, with the Minnesota Cup coming up again this year, out of sheer curiosity, I called them up and just to get updated. you know, and ask them, you know, what are your plans? Are you heading west? Because one of their co-founders already is based in San Francisco. The company officially is based in the Twin Cities, but one of their people is out west. So I sort of posed the question: are you like getting restless here? You know, do you want to move west? Because as we know, a lot of local companies have done that, and they said, absolutely freaking not. You know, we're staying in Minnesota.
Got
it. Yep. They said the office digs are cheaper. They made one interesting point. They're a relatively small company, kind of a niche area, and their feeling is that if they moved out west, they might get sort of lost in the noise. And they feel the mentorship they've received here from the Minnesota Cup folks and, you know, from other people has been first rate. They feel very comfortable in, you know, the tech startup community here in the Twin Cities. And so they're staying put, which is great.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful. It's a wise idea, if you ask me. So
this is sort of a follow-up story to one of my cool things of the week several weeks ago. And it's the Sioux Chief, which is the American Indian restaurant, which
Sioux Chef.
Oh, okay. Sioux Chef. Right.
Yes.
Which had a Kickstarter, and they kicked the Kickstarter up by about 50%. So they raised $148,000 for their restaurant, which we're looking forward to going to.
Yeah, they're still looking for a space, but that was one of the reasons that they did the Kickstarter, was this basically share Native American cuisine. But I love the play on words of sous chef. I think that's a brilliant piece to go.
That's fantastic,
so.
Yeah. Yeah, and this reminded me of how the local restaurant scene has been very interesting lately. I mean, there's obviously a lot of stuff happening in Minneapolis, but just around the corner from me here in my neighborhood, there's a ramen place opening. There's a vegan restaurant opening up. A little further down the road, the Happy Gnome folks are going to create a combination bakery/bar, which is a little weird, but very interesting. Mm-hmm. This is a great cuisine town, I think. It's there's a lot of interesting stuff going on.
Yeah, I think it's a great town. Yeah,
it is. Yeah, they have a food truck, the Tonka truck, which I haven't seen around town, but I don't get into the cities that often. So we only
get the food trucks that explode here in Lakeville.
That's right. Yeah, the heavy metal food truck.
I'm sorry. Wait a minute. There are exploding food trucks?
Yeah, we had an explosion here.
I think it was like two years ago. It was like two years ago, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah. We have some friends that lived in the neighborhood, and their house got really kind of trashed by it.
Yeah, there was a food truck who's had a propane leak, Julio, and it exploded in the driveway overnight, I believe.
Oh, dear. No one was hurt. No one was hurt, but several houses were really damaged.
And there was a hassle over the insurance. Yeah.
Well, that endeared them to their neighbors.
It did not.
It did not. I think that would be the word. No.
So last week we talked about the Apple event, and this week Apple actually shipped.
There was an Apple event last week? Really?
Yeah, there was. Kidding. There was. We talked about it. The iPhone 7 was released, a new Apple Watch, iOS 10 and tvOS 10, a bunch of new stuff. Did any of us get any of the new stuff?
Oh, one of the gentlemen in our office picked one up. Actually, a couple did. They stood in line and picked up their reserved copy or their reserved version of the phone. I've seen the standard black. I haven't seen the jet black yet, but I think it's still a dead sexy device, no doubt about it. I really the new haptic home button is a unique concept. I'm not strongly passionate either way about the headphone jack, but of course that's probably the thing that garners the most attention of the machine. But I think it's going to be great, it made Apple stock gain 12% yesterday or over the last week, something like that.
There's a lot of demand.
There is a lot of demand for it. So that could be because people skipped the 6S generation. They had the 6, then they came out with the 6S, which wasn't terrifically different. And now the 7 is, I think there's some good change there. And I think that it also probably fits in better with people's 2-year plans, et cetera. So I think you're seeing some upgrades happen. Well,
I think you had a lot of people that like the smaller phone that kind of held out with their 5Ss for a while. Then the SE came out, and maybe some of those, upgraded to that for the faster processor. But, I think that we're seeing just a lot of, either original iPhone 6 folks upgrade, and maybe a few Android folks coming in too.
And I'm reading this hasn't been corroborated by Apple, but I'm reading that this time around the large phone is selling better than the smaller phone.
They sold out. Yeah, I think the 7 Plus is sold out, isn't it? And at least in jet black.
It is.
Which is Switch, because in the past the smaller of the phones always sold better than the. How people have tended to line up at Apple stores. Usually, if you did not have a pre-order and you lined up and you were towards the head of the line, you had a somewhat decent chance of snagging, the most coveted phone, whatever the most coveted phone that year is. This year is completely different. The 7 Plus was completely sold out during the pre-order phase, and Apple made it very clear that you absolutely cannot walk into an Apple store and pick one up. And that's new. That's a kind of a new situation. And the jet black iPhone 7 also was completely sold out, although you could get the smaller phone in some other colors. So I actually wrote a story about that for the paper yesterday. I talked to one local iOS developer who he placed a pre-order for a matte black 7 Plus, and he was kind of bummed out that he wouldn't get it until October. So I sort of laid out the story about how he walked into the Roseville store, and just to see if on the off chance he could find the phone that he had ordered and cancel his online order.
Right.
And he was told, "Sorry, dude, there's absolutely no way nobody's getting those phones as walk-ins this year." So it's interesting how that whole situation has shifted, because Apple is sort of gradually moving away from the huge queues and people camping out overnight and so forth. But it's a different situation this year.
Yeah.
Regarding the headphone jack, I'm actually pretty bullish on having a phone without a headphone jack, because unbeknownst to myself, I've been sort of preparing for this day, because I. Funny story. My wife put new handles on our kitchen drawers, and she chose those handles unwisely, because every time I walk by with my wired earbuds, they catch on the edges of the handles.
Oh, well, there you go.
And I've ruined a couple of earbuds, and every time that happens, my head sort of yanks back, and I get whiplash. And so I said, the hell with that. I'm switching to Bluetooth. So I have these LG Bluetooth earbuds. They're sort of like necklaces that sort of wrap around your neck, and then the little corded pieces come out. And I've been using those for a couple of years now. I absolutely love them. The whole issue about not being able to charge and listen to your phone at the same time is somewhat solved for me, because I have Apple's Lightning dock. You can put your phone in the Lightning dock, and then there's a conventional audio jack in the back, which then plugs into my speaker system. So that's not a problem. So I'm totally prepped. I have absolutely no problems with the absence of the audio jack on the new phone. It's perfect for me.
So are you noticing any difference, any degradation in the audio sound? I mean, the audio is not great to begin with, as far as, I think we've had that discussion before, but do you notice a degradation in the audio sound between wired and Bluetooth?
Possibly. I have used a variety of Bluetooth devices. These LG earbuds that I'm using are really, really good. The sound is very good. I should tell you, I'm deaf in one ear, so I'm not the best person to ask, because I live an entirely mono existence. But the audio quality of my LGs is top notch. It has not been an issue for me, and my marriage has been saved. I'm no longer suffering whiplash in the kitchen. So
those new AirPods that Apple came out with, they look pretty nice. Are you going to get those to try out, Julio?
Yes, absolutely. But they won't. For some reason, they're not sending those to me until October.
Oh, I think that's when they said that those would be available.
Yeah.
Yeah, the AirPods are extremely interesting for me because they're designed to sort of intelligently shift from device to device. They if you're using iCloud, the AirPods that you own will be sort of imprinted on all of your Apple devices. So you can switch from your phone to your tablet to your computer. And that's kind of important for me because I live my home office is right next to my bedroom. If my wife is napping, I don't want to make noise. So I tend to use some kind of a headphone situation with my Mac. And the AirPods, you know, sound like they're going to be absolutely perfect for that because I can then do Skype calls on the computer and so forth.
So they have microphones too on the...
They do. You can, can make calls on them.
Well, that's cool.
I'm not sure exactly how it's going to work for me because I'm deaf in my right ear, so I would just use one AirPod. But based on my reading, apparently it'll be fine.
Yeah, I think that's good because you'll be able to lose one. So and still have
there,
one
there you
over.
Go. Yeah.
I will tell you those things are not leaving the house. If they leave they will be gone. They will be lost. So
I still think though the comedy line of the release was Seth Meyers when he said that the AirPods come pre-lost.
Right, yeah.
Yep. I think that's great.
Well, but that brings up an interesting use case with the Apple Watch where you could use that to do phone calls and not look like Dick Tracy talking into your arm.
That's a good point. I forgot about the Apple Watch. You can actually link to the Apple Watch as well. And I did phone calls all of once or twice on my Apple Watch before I decided I looked like a complete dork and this is never going to happen again.
yeah, but you look like that guy with the Bluetooth earpod or earpiece now. So do you want to be that guy?
Yeah. I had a cartoonist friend of mine draw a little cartoon rendition of me in the Dick Tracy style, you know, with a little sort of Apple sure. Watch and there, a little arrow pointing to it saying two-way wrist radio. And so that was kind of fun. But yeah, it'll be kind of fun to listen to music or podcasts as well as when I'm out walking or so forth. And
yeah.
It'll be fairly easy to do that.
Yeah, so I know that both of you use iPhones as your main driver. Have you guys upgraded to iOS 10? And if so, what do you think of it?
Well, my upgrade to iOS 10 was probably the most uncomfortable upgrade ever. That's the most difficulty I've ever had with an upgrade. It wasn't the usual. I know that when the release became available, there were reports of a lot of phones being what were termed as bricked, but you know, just frozen solid. From
did that happen to you?
Yeah, the over-the-air update. No, that didn't happen to me. It was an issue more with some of the features. The sticker feature on messaging, which was interesting to me because BuzzFeed has produced a sticker package. And so I wanted to check that out and basically needed to reinstall the apps that were associated with most of the apps that were associated with stickers, like News 360 had a sticker, ESPN has a sticker app, or a sticker in an app in the messaging app store, and so basically had to just kind of keep reinstalling those things. Obviously, I overcame it, but it was like, gosh, this is really kind of a pain in the keister. But beyond that, I haven't had any issues with it. And I haven't really had a lot of time to explore the new, more robust Siri and that sort of thing. I'm not a big Siri user. So.
Is it a lot different than iOS 9 was?
I don't think it's a lot different, no.
Superficially, no. You know, one of the big changes is in messages where you have all these, you know, animated sticker capabilities and you can actually engage in certain kinds of financial transactions, right, within the messages app, like a Square and so forth. You can summon Ubers and so yeah. the messages app, this is being mirrored over on the Android side. The messages app is sort of becoming a full-fledged ecosystem in itself. And the whole sticker situation just makes me queasy. I wonder what Steve Jobs would have thought of that with all, you know, all these very disparate looking, you know, stickers, you know, sort of vying for attention. It's very cacophonous, and it's something I just want to stay the hell away from.
You clearly don't have an 18-year-old daughter.
Though. I do all my texting in Google Voice on my computer. Yeah. So.
There you go.
All right, and that was sort of the reaction I had to tvOS 10. I have an Apple TV. It upgraded. I used it last night, and I didn't see a lot of difference.
Looks
about the same. I know that there's some new features, like once you, it automatically downloads compatible apps. So as apps come on board that you know are compatible with your Apple TV, it'll automatically download those. So I guess that's kind of neat, but I don't know.
Yeah, I still have to do the upgrade to the TV and the Watch OS, so I haven't done that yet. But we have a link to a review of the new Apple Watch 2.0.
It seems like a pretty good device for, you know, if you want a fitness tracker / smartwatch, you know.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
It's a little spendy for, you know, almost $400 for that when you can get, you know, the top of the line Fitbit for $200, but, you know.
Right. Yeah, dedicated runners. I've heard, you know, a lot of dedicated runners saying they're absolutely Apple Watch is not for them. They're just going to stick with their Garmin watches. You know, Fitbits for the average people are a lot less spending than an Apple Watch. You know, for just basic fitness monitoring. But the new Apple Watch does have the GPS chip built in. So if you use I forgot the name of the service that runners use to sort of track their routes, but
Runkeeper, yeah.
There's another one, TrueVia or something like that.
Yeah.
But now you can sort of go for a run or bike ride without your phone, which is a huge pain in the keister. And you can go swimming with the watch. Apparently, you can just, you know, take a dunk in the pool, do some lap swimming with no harm done. The old watch had some water resistance. People were known to take it in the shower, but this is not something that Apple actually recommended. In this particular case, they say it's fine. You know, take it in the pool. And there's one kind of weird feature. The one part of the watch that's sort of open is the speaker. For obvious reasons, you need to have a somewhere for the sound to come out. But it's designed in such a way that the water will not get into the rest of the watch, but then when you get out of the pool, there's a feature that actually squirt any water that's out in there is actually physically squirted out. So I am sitting here in suspense, you know, waiting to get my hands on one of those watches so I can go to the pool and see what this squirting is like. I'm very, very eager to see that.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Insert your joke here.
Insert your joke.
That's right. Oh boy!
So on the other side of the fence, Amazon has upgraded their Amazon Fire HD 8.
This was a story from a couple weeks ago, or maybe last week, that I cut for time, and I wanted to talk about it with Julio because I've been kind of impressed with what Amazon has done with the Fire HD. I mean, the hardware is not terribly great, but it's not terribly bad either. Their software has come along, so it's, you know, pretty usable. And for content consumption, reading and looking at videos and whatnot, you know, a $90 tablet that packs in as much as this HD 8 does looks very appealing.
Yeah, the real story with Amazon is value. In under some circumstances, you can get a full feature tablet for $50. You can buy the least expensive tablets, and you can buy them in little four packs with the little carton carrier for less than you would pay for an iPad Mini. It's crazy. And then on the high end, I've sort of experimented here and there with the high end Fire HD tablets. I'm pretty impressed. They're nice. Little machines, and quite honestly, if I you know had to choose between one of those and a pure Google tablet, I quite frankly might go the Amazon route, because the way the Amazon ecosystem is sort of integrated is pretty cool. They have clever covers that double as stands, and that they have companion keyboards, and you know, you get the whole package with those. The only big downside is you don't get any of the Google apps. You don't get anything that's officially Google, because the Android, the version of Android built into these Amazon tablets is non-standard and therefore doesn't have the clearance to use the traditional Google app. So if you're a big Google head, you have to absolutely stay away from these tablets. But otherwise, I've been very impressed.
Yeah, I think there's ways you can sideload those Google apps if you're a geek, but
I have done that, but it's kind of a pain.
Yeah, but you know, for normal people, a $90 tablet that does probably 80% or more of what people want to do with a tablet is, I think, a great value. It comes in a variety of colors. One of the other stories of this week is that Amazon's doing retail stores. They're going to do 100 pop-up stores in the malls across the U.S. here, I guess this holiday season.
Did you hear about any in Minnesota? Or?
I haven't, but I would assume that they'd at least do one at the Mall of America, wouldn't you think?
No, I was really kind of surprised I didn't see it on the list, that there was no Mall of America outlet. It's like, really?
Really?
It just doesn't seem right. Yeah. So, then again, the year's not over. So,
well, they're pop-up sure stores, so there's plenty of pads available at Mall of America that they could probably get. So right. I wouldn't be surprised if we see at least a little bitty one there.
Yeah. Well, pop-up doesn't necessarily mean kiosk. So
that's true. But they're showing all these pictures in the San Francisco malls.
Yeah.
And they're those ones that are out in the middle, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, the kiosks, like a thing.
Kiosky so. Kind of a thing, but
I can't imagine them doing that in the Mall of America like that, though. So wouldn't that be more of a bigger deal?
I think it's a good move from Amazon to get people to touch and try their devices.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
So let's segue into the cool thing of the week. I don't know. I see that. Tim, you have something here that isn't a small computer. So
no, it's not. It's not a single board computer. See,
it's not a single board computer. You stuck with your pledge.
That's right. So. But it is on Kickstarter. It's another Kickstarter. And this one only has 50 hours to go, but they've surpassed their goal by over $40,000. It is the Toasteroid. And yes, it is a smartphone-enabled toaster, which allows you to print either their own pre-canned things, like you could do an I love you or a heart or whatever on your toast, or you can actually draw your own thing on your toast, or you can get the weather on your toast.
All right.
So
I love that.
For $79, and it looks cool too. I mean, it's a really nicely designed toaster. For $79, I'm very tempted. This would be not only a conversation piece, but it's got some geek cred.
I don't eat enough toast. I don't think I could justify.
Really? I mean, toast is like the big trend now. There's toast restaurants now.
I know there is. I know there is. What I don't go. So but it's interesting. I got to tell you, it's interesting, and it looks like. I mean, it is good-looking toaster. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah,
it can handle bagels and Texas toast and things like that. So it's got a wide slot, and you know. So, but yeah, it is kind of unique that you could actually get your weather on your toast every morning.
That was one of the features that I thought was great. but they compare it with the high-end toaster. So we have a high-end toaster.
You do?
Yeah, we do. It was $100-something. So, they're comparing it with other toasters, and, they've got full justification for their $85 retail price. But if you're on Kickstarter and you want one of these, I think they still have some open for $79. Oh, wait a minute. They sold out of those. Now that's $85. So.
I see. Yep, you're right. I just saw it. Oh, they just – yeah, they did. They did have a couple – of 300 left for the Toasteroid Mini, which is the smaller version of it.
I would go for a whole hog. I mean, come on.
Yeah,
you want the two slice. You don't want a single slice.
No, I agree with you.
All right.
I agree. Well, go for it, Tim. Just do it.
So it's funded. it's going to be funded in the 50 hours that it has to go. But I thought that was a fun thing of the week.
I like it. Go for it, man.
All right.
And we'll all come over to your house for toast.
Indeed.
Mine is not necessarily anything new, but I think it's cool. The Amazon Dot, the Echo Dot, is now available for just $50, which I think is, you know, I pre-ordered one. They're now they're available in, I believe it's October, but they're just $50. They are now available also in. All you Trump fans would be happy to know, available in white as well.
So did you get white or black? Because I think the white looks black. Really cool. I'm not a Trump supporter, by the way, but I think I think that the white is the cooler of the two.
That was just my little political jab of the week. So, no, it's yeah, I got the black one simply because everything else I've got as far as technology is the black version. So, and I don't, you know, white would really stick out in our particular
If you have this in the kitchen, though, it goes with, of course, all of our kitchen stuff is stainless steel, so it still would go, I guess. So. Yeah, all right.
Well, go ahead and get one. But anyway,
well, so, I think this one you have to hook it up to, like, your stereo, right?
Well, if you want to have, if you want to play music through it, yes, you do. But if you want to just use it as a you know, weather and that sort of thing, no, you don't need to.
Oh, really? So it has a little speaker so you can just say, hey, Alexa, what's the weather?
Yeah. It just has a very small speaker. So, I think that if you're looking for audio, you want to go to the tap or the actual.
So this is not your first rodeo with the Amazon Echo, as listeners will know.
Which is actually a very no, it's not. Yes, I will be. I'm looking. I've been waiting for this one to be available to non Alexa or non Echo users or owners, because you could only buy the Dot. Buying it on the Echo, so now it's wide open, and it's just $50. So,
okay, well, that's a cool thing. So, Julio, did you have a cool thing of the week,
Julio?
Well, I always have cool things of the week.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, the if you're a user of the iPad Pro, Logitech has come out with the new keyboard case, which I think is possibly the best such case for the iPad Pro. This is for the 9.7-inch iPad Pro. If you remember way back, they released a larger iPad Pro, the 12-point-whatever iPad Pro, and then Logitech released a Create keyboard case, which was, you know, reasonably functional. You know, it gave you something pretty close to a MacBook experience, but I don't know if you ever took a look at it. It made the iPad just massively huge. I mean, the size and bulk of that package was just horrible. So that didn't really work, but the Logitech came out with a new version of its Create keyboard for the smaller iPad Pro, and that tablet is smaller to begin with, so that makes the situation easier, but they also did some clever design tweaks and came up with a keyboard case, which I think is absolutely fantastic. The keys feel great. They're backlit. When you fold the thing closed, it's this little package with a sort of rough texture that you can sort of hold onto. It won't slip out of your hand. And most interestingly, right behind the tablet and within the little folding stand part is a little slot for your pencil, for your Apple Pencil, which is unusual. Most keyboard cases don't really consider the Apple Pencil. But if you're a big Apple Pencil user, which I am not, but if you love that stylus and you're always afraid of losing it, it sort of tucks in there and it's completely invisible and out of the way when you have the package closed, and it's right there to grab whenever you need it. It's absolute perfection. It's the perfect iPad Pro 9.7-inch keyboard case I've seen. I love it.
$130.
Yeah,
that's not too bad actually for, you know, high quality.
Yes, I'm actually still using the Zag. I think this was a previous pick of mine, the Zag Rugged Book, which is a sort of a ruggedized keyboard case that can take a lot of punishment, because I throw, you know, when I commute to work on my bike, I throw the thing in my bag and my bike bag and so forth, and so I just want something really, really rugged. And the one minus with the Logitech case is if you want to use the tablet just as a tablet without the keyboard, it's a little bit of a pain to pry the tablet out of the case. And when you do so, the tablet is completely unprotected with the Zag Rugged Book. It's a laptop configuration, but you just grab the tablet, you know, with its Zag enclosure and just yank it off the keyboard, just break the magnetic seal and just pull it off, and you have a tablet. So I like that a little better overall. But definitely take a look at the Logitech, because it's very, very nice.
They make good stuff. So.
They do.
Yep.
So do we have any upcoming events we haven't talked about yet, Phil?
Well, no, not really. I mean, we have Startup Weeks this week, starting on the 19th, which is Monday. So you might want to check out some of these Startup Week activities. I've got a full slate. So I'm headed to, I think Beta MN is on Monday night. And then there's a Techstar day on Tuesday that I'll be at. There's obviously the mini demo is on Wednesday. And then I mean, again, these are highlights. There are things going on all day, as a matter of fact. So in each day. So, and then the Thursday night is the Minnesota Cup awards. And after that, the documentary film release. So I'm looking forward to that. So
we'll have
lots
going
on.
Lot to talk about next week.
In the coming week, I'm going to be writing a story about the documentary, so stay tuned for that.
There's great. Yeah. So
excellent.
Great. So lots going on, and we will talk about it next week on
the Mid of Eight Gang podcast.